G'day, g'day, everybody. Brian here, quantlabs.net. We are going to take a look at two articles. One is a subreddit on, what is the name of it? It's called Coding. That's the name of the subreddit. Article on Medium called Top 10 Reasons Why You Should Learn Java. There's a bunch of comments here, which does and does not surprise me, and learning aspects in the comments, so we'll get to those in a minute. So in this article here on Medium, there's a bunch of reasons here. So the 10 reasons are, I've used Java very extensively for a number of years in my career, up till between Java 4 and Java 6. So after Java 6, maybe 7, maybe 8, I've dropped off. So this is what we've got here, the reasons. Java, popular and in demand. Yes, there's a lot of legacy projects done in Java. Coming from the world of even high-frequency trading, you know, there was always the competition between C++ and Java. And with Java, it can reach into low-level operating system at the Linux kernel level. So that's very possible. With Java along with C, C++. And it's popular, obviously. It's probably one of the top three languages out there because it's been around for quite the while under Sun Microsystems that Oracle took over. And Java has been open source for all that time as well. There's a lot of legacy banking, just other older industry enterprise applications written in Java. If you think about J2EE, along with that, Java Enterprise and all that. Okay, so that's the popularity and in demand. And the only reason it's really in demand is because of it's been out for so long, and it's been out there, as I said, in the enterprises and entrenched in the enterprises for so long as well. Now, this is the probably number one reason that people move to Java. Back when Java did come out, what did it come out? Probably late 80s. No, it couldn't be that far back. But sometime in the 90s, maybe mid-90s, where it started getting more popular, there was always the battle between the world of Linux, Unix, and Microsoft. Microsoft heavily pushed proprietary .NET and Microsoft technologies. And then there's always this movement to not be on Java technology, be on Microsoft technology. So there'd be companies like Red Hat, IBM, and the like, pushing Linux solutions as well. So there was always those two worlds clashing. And when Java did come out in mid-90s, it was a very unique language. And it was, its original mantra was write once, deploy anywhere. So that meant you could take your Java application, develop it in Linux, you could develop it on Windows. That was the big disadvantage of the Microsoft technologies. And that is what brought out C#, because it was C# answer in early days, along with another specific language that Microsoft brought out. I can't remember the name of it, that was to compete with Java. But over time, C# eventually took a lot of the early features of Java and made C# a direct competitor in the world of .NET to compete against the features that Java brought out, which was, again, fairly revolutionary in its time because it was a Linux and a Unix world that were directly competing against Microsoft. So with that, there was a lot of independence. There was also a lot of independence for Java to be written on with the microservices. So they were right in there with the early stages of C++ and C as well. Now, the large standard library, just a standard library, no different than the core library C++. It's quite vast, which is better because as long as you're not bringing in, like in the world of Python, and I think the world of Python does a fairly decent job there as well. There's not a lot of, I haven't seen a lot of incompatibilities with a lot of the different Python libraries, packages out there, at least along in the mainstream ones. Because when I went from Java 6, that's when I started kind of playing around more with Python and haven't looked back. I prefer Python and how it's really evolved, and it's diverse. It's very varied in all the different types of features that you get with Python. And it's just easier to write. So you take a lot less number of lines to do something than compared to C, C++, and Java. And I think that's one of the reasons why Python is so popular. Anyways, that's a large standard library. I'm not going to get into that. Here it says that would include functionality like networking, file handling, database connectivity, and more. So there is that. And for its time, it's quite revolutionary. But Python has come along and pretty well stunted the growth of Java. And you'll hear from within the comments of that red subreddit I'll go over as well. Strong community support. I have to say that is very true, especially under the Sun Microsystems days when you get your, what's it called? The software. I can't remember. This Java, basically Java certification. Microsoft had its own certification as well, managed by Sun. It was pretty good, and it was a good way to stay certified to prove to employers of your capabilities. Object-oriented paradigm. Now, this, because I'm older, I'm in Freedom 55 now. You know that term as of today. Object-oriented programming was the big thing. So the evolution was, if you were, a C developer, either in the world of Linux, Unix, or even Windows, it was easier to manage because there was really only one framework, which was the standard Kerningham and Ritchie. There weren't a lot that C could do. Along came C++. That's when they started introducing the object-oriented programming. Java was no different, and that became the new standard on how to program. But then along comes something like Python, kind of can make it object-oriented, but it makes it more sequential. And it's a script. It's an interpreter language, whereas C, C++ is all compiled. So for a very long time, object-oriented worked well. But you try to do that in the world of Python, you can make it simpler. But with Java, it just became very, very, very convoluted. It just overly complicated in the engineering side of it. So as a result, from what I'm seeing, object-oriented programming is falling by the wayside. And also cloud technologies has radically changed that through APIs and the like. So it's totally changed on how larger applications are developed. And mobile also changed that as well. Scalability and performance. You know, when it comes to what I'm saying here about Java, its strengths, what it was at the time, scalable, performance, highly performant, capable, suitable for developing large-scale mission-critical applications. So that's where the banks come in and the like. Language efficiency, memory management. Again, that was the big advantage that Java brought, and that also was evolved into C#, where you didn't have to manage your own memory handling, because you could let the language itself do that for you. Multi-threading, again, was simpler, and optimization techniques was there as well to build high-performance systems capable of handling heavy workloads with minimal resource consumption. So that was the revolution back then when Java was around. So there's just more competition now for Java. Obviously, in the world of, as I said, mobile, cloud, AI now that's coming with the machine learning along with Python itself. Java has a mature ecosystem, an enterprise framework and tool empowering developers to build robust, scalable, secure applications. So here we have Spring, Hibernate, Apache, Struts, which was the standard, and the newer ones for version control on the Maven and Jenkins for the deployment process. So that's all standard. But the way I see it, it is falling by the wayside because Python has proven to be a very robust language. And now I'm relearning about JavaScript as well, being, you know, Python back end, JavaScript front end. And then even with JavaScript Node, JS could be on the back end as well. So there's so many more choices as well. Is it easier to learn? No. Can it be more standardized? No. And that's probably the problems that we see with a lot of JavaScript applications. So there are some of those disadvantages, but with Java, it's a lot more strict. So as a result, Java has its standards there in terms of making sure Java applications don't crash as much because of the standards that they brought in. Career opportunities, that's a given. Here it says, and even under Android for mobile, web development, software development, data science, not so much. That's where Python rules along with cloud computing. So it's still popular. It's only more popular just due to these legacy enterprise level applications for more maintenance mode, I guess. So here's the other big thing that I've always liked about Java is both Microsoft and Sun Oracle standard no break policy. So for example, if you want to develop a Java 6 application and you are translating the code from Java 4, adding in more of the Java 6 applications, they had a no break policy, which meant that that code wouldn't break. Now, if you try to do that in the world of Python, you get this weird, we're about to deprecate this library, this package, and then you're screwed when you upgrade the Python interpreter with your current code. So you have made some packages that may be obsolete because it gets deprecated, and that's one of the big disadvantages of Python. So I'm very leery to shift from Python interpreter to Python interpreter because even my own code, coding scripts break, which I don't like. So gateway to other technologies. So yeah, Java's really the standard, the back end for technology. And then to transfer the object-oriented programming knowledge into Python, that's useful, or C++. So you can, learning Java is probably a good way to learn general programming, but with the radical shift to AI and machine learning, it's changing. So this what I'm putting out will maybe become obsolete one day. Anyways, let's go to the comments here. So again, this is comments on the coding subreddit, top 10 reasons why you should learn Java. That's the name. So here's the comments themselves. Kotlin, please. Kotlin. So this is a valid comment follow-up. What was said here, learning Java is still good for supporting existing applications. That's what I said about the legacy. Kotlin truly is a breath of fresh air. Anyone who's used to working with Java, all the good parts, but very few of the bad parts. Okay. But then you get the Go and you get some of the newer languages along with Kotlin. For mobile, I think it's so confusing now to know what is what. Kotlin's more for mobile. I have no problem with Java in itself. Kotlin, though, throw in some Spring Boot and it turns into my personal nightmare. F annotation language framework, yes, Next.js, this is also for you. There's some follow-up here. Here's my feedback on that comment. It's fairly, see, I'm now, the way I'm architecting my new website, which will probably be an impact on how I architect my future coding with Python scripting, where it'll be all integrated. Currently, I have WordPress, and it's obviously PHP. It's not very easy to integrate WordPress with something like Python, but because of how I'm architecting it with the technologies of Django, the framework for web, also I'm building on top of that WordPress-like features using Wagtail. And I'm also able to, with the books I'm going to do a review on soon, of blending in on the front end or more of the JavaScript components using both React and Next JavaScript. So it's cleaner, but you're still able to use the advantages of JavaScript with React and Next if you want. And from what I see with career searching, JavaScript dominates a lot of the jobs out there in JavaScript. I think not knowing JavaScript is really putting you at a disadvantage. If for me to say that, let's say 6 months ago, JavaScript, I would have said, is not a great language because of the non-standardized uses that it has, why there's a lot of problems with JavaScript. As one person that I know that makes a career out of it. He calls it the Wild West, and there's no standards, and that's true. Anyways, but doing it this way, the way I'm doing it, seems to be the cleaner way, where there's some standards using code splitting and all that on the components. It's no different than if you were using 100% Visual Studio and using, let's say, C#, and then you want to build a component with the visual effect with Visual Basic. You can do that within the world of Visual Studio. It's no different, but you're able to add in the JavaScript as well with standards. Now, when it comes to the follow-ups here, should I continue? Okay, so these are the follow-ups to that prior comment. Annotations are just turbos, reducing typing long code. Why hate annotation? Because seems like a language are doing their Python decorators, Rust, I don't know what they're called in C#, whatever name. Okay, yeah, that's true, if you know coding. And the follow-up continues, coding obfuscation magic over integration rigidity are my nemesis. It depends upon what level you're in. If you are in a large coding team, yeah, you want to be able to protect certain parts of the code using these features. You often end up in a case where you want to do something that's not simple use case, and you end up having to tinker your way through. And that's where the code gets really messed up, I find. I'd rather have control over what I do. More follow-up is, I think for me, it's less about control and more about what is control and what does it mean. Again, it depends. If you're on a coding team, you may need to be using these annotations. But if you're a one team coder, then yeah, you don't need them. But I like them. I'm starting to get used to them. I'm starting to see the importance of them. Feels off somehow, like we're masking uncanny valley visions of functions, methods, or whatever. That's true. I'll say somehow more comfortable with Python decorators than Java annotations. I can't put into words why. It's because Java is the old way and Python's the easier way. Comment here was about Spring Boot. Okay, so when it comes to all of these technologies to build out quick, rapid development for web applications, so many options, like be it React, be it Next, and again, both JavaScript, and again, I've already mentioned that about the Wild West of JavaScript. Spring Boot's another option. There's a bunch in PHP and whatnot. And Spring Boot, I think, is just its way to keep Java alive, to be able to keep the easy way to develop Java web applications, because there's way easier ways through, like the likes of, as I said, from the world of Python, you have Flask, you have Django, you have Fast API as well. So from that perspective, Spring Boot is just its way of trying to keep Java relevant in that world of being able to develop web applications. But really, the one dominant player is JavaScript on the front end, and then Python can be done on the front end, but smartly with something like Django, something like Flask, depending upon the need. Yeah, Python could probably do the job, but if you're trying to make it more of an enterprise level, Django is probably the way to go. Fast API is another one, but that's built for API development. So Django's out of the Python world. That's probably the most sensible and the most mature. So, but you can easily, as I said, you can easily blend, well, I won't say easily, but you can blend it in with emergent JavaScript components built with Next.js or React. Following up with the comment about Next.js, worked for a while and hate it absolutely. Whenever someone mentions they use Next.js, I make a note of their project name and run. That's just a personal opinion, obviously. But I think there's some, from what I'm learning in this one book over the last couple of weeks, is there's Next.js and then there's the routers, the wagtail routers for URL domains. There are other options, but that you can take out some of the good features of, let's say, Next.js and put them into a Django Wagtail application. Just from my perspective, again, I'm no expert here, but that's how I'm seeing it. Okay, so continuing along, now I'm okay with C++. The follow up to that is, I thought that too, but after making a simple game and CRUD project, Kotlin is really cool. Even I am moving my game project from Go.plus C# to Kotlin and lib LibGDX and KTX. Okay, that's fine. Whatever those, I guess those are all Kotlin related, maybe mobile. I don't know, but that's pretty well it. Again, those top 10 reasons why you should learn Java. If you want to know more, go over to my Discord server. I'll put the link in there. More up if you want to from the world of finance or trading, go to myquantlabs.net/books to get a set of books to get some technology, be it using Excel or Java's open source coding project, along with my Substack to learn what I'm trading as well. We'll leave it at that. Thanks for listening. Over and out.